It's Tuesday, August 21st, and you're listening to the Geek News Central Podcast, sponsored by GoDaddy.com. Geek News Central is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. Hey, everyone, got a great show for you lined up. I'm kind of officially on vacation, so we're going to have a good time. Strap in. Here it comes.
This is the Geek News Central Podcast, part of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. So grab a cup of coffee, take a seat, and crank up that volume. Because you're listening to Todd on the Geek News Central Podcast.
Aloha and welcome to the Geek News Central Podcast. My name is Todd Cochran, coming to you as live as it can be from historic Ford Island here in Honolulu, Hawaii. How are you? Did you have a great weekend, great first day back to work? Well, I had a very, very successful day back at work, and then I rolled out of the office at about 5 o'clock this afternoon and officially put myself on vacation for a mini vacation of 4 days. And no, I'm not going anywhere. It's a working vacation, and my wife's she just shook her head at me because I'm going to be just as busy as ever. But we'll talk a little bit about that here in a few moments. Hey, if you're checking out the show for the first time, hey, welcome to the family, and of course, all of you that are long-term subscribers of the show, thanks for being part of the Ohana here. And, of course, make sure you get over to the website at geeknewscentral.com. Check out all the great content over there. Click on the podcast link. That'll take you to the archive podcast. And, yes, the archive button now works. I got that fixed. So y'all can go back. Now, there was a comment from one of our listeners, new listeners to the show, said, hey, I went back to some of the shows you did in 2004, and I can only find from, like, December of 2004 on. Well, I'll be honest with you. There was a few shows that I did early on that I actually had to pull down because was not aware of the ramifications of playing essentially non-RIAA safe music. I was playing music that could have gotten me in trouble with the RIAA. So I had actually pulled those offline. And actually, you're the first person to request them since... oh, gosh, they'd been online probably a year before I had pulled them down. But that's a reason why some of those shows are not available today. And some of them are actually dead links that I got to get fixed as well. But, of course, what else is going on? Well, if you're checking out the show for the first time, make sure you get to our newsletter link on the website. Sign up for our newsletter so you get the show notes delivered directly to your inbox immediately following the show. A couple of quick things. This week I've got Tim, my main server guy that I've used in the past. He's going to be working on the website that Geek News Central is on. And the server really needs to be upgraded. And the only way to upgrade it is to have the website moved on to another box for a few days while we have the system itself rebuilt and upgraded to a newer operating system. And that's going to happen. I don't know exactly when he's going to be ready to flip the switch, but there is going to be some of my sites are going to be down. I'm not going to have like my personal blog up and the family site. We're just not going to, you know, take the time to move those over. They're backed up on the FTP backup servers I have with GoDaddy. But the we figure that the rebuilding the server will probably take, 6, 7, 10 hours maybe, and then bringing the data back online. But Geek News Central should stay online along with some other critical websites that I have running on the server. So if you see a little bump, don't be surprised. And we're just going to keep on cranking here. But it's something I've been putting off. I wanted to wait till after the podcast awards got done because this box was... kind of in the food chain with that event, so we had to wait till it was over, so we didn't have any major issues. Well, I tell you, we've been getting a lot of publicity over the new stat system that we put up. People are pretty stoked about it. It's working very, very well. We've actually turned on some more podcasters. I think we have 140 shows now using the redirect service. And while the stats are, of course, our phase one release, people have had generally given us some great feedback, and we've got some ideas on what we're going to do for phase two. Of course, if you're a podcaster, you can get access to our stats, part of our phase rollout, by being a member over either Tech Podcast or Blueberry.com. So we look forward to introducing that to everyone on those networks over the next few weeks. Okay, what else? Well, the reason I'm taking a little mini vacation this week is that I am way, way, way behind on everything. And essentially, I just need to be able to lock myself in the office, put my head down, and work straight through for a couple of days. And I've got two term papers due. They're due on Thursday by about midnight Eastern Standard Time. So that is first priority tomorrow, is to get them finished up. And then I've got a couple of other major things I got to get done. And I just got a list, a honey-do list, a business-do list. And so it's going to be a working week. And I plan by about the time I do the show Thursday night and get up Friday morning, I'm hoping to have my to-do list completely killed and actually be able to take the weekend off completely. That's that's the end goal. And then in a couple of weeks, I'll start some real vacation time and actually take some time away from the PC. Probably continue to just do the show on a regular basis, but I'm just going to step away and actually have a few nice days off, go down the beach and hang out. Did spend the previous weekend working on some podcaster ad deals. Had one of our vendors come in and just dump a whole bunch of inventory on us, and I was just scrambling to get it all doled out. And if you are a podcaster and you're looking for some advertisers, we definitely have some impressions to deliver yet. So drop me a line at CEO at Raw Voice. Okay, what else have I got on my little list here? I guess that's about it for right. Oh, I know one thing we'll talk about, but I'll wait here a few minutes for that. But if you want to make an impact online, GoDaddy.com has what you need. .com names as low as $1.99 plus world-class hosting, fast and easy website builders, and much, much more. Plus, enter the code TODD when you check out and save an additional 10% on your order. Again, that's code Todd. And you can get your piece of internet at GoDaddy.com. Some restrictions apply. See site for details. And you can enter the code GEEK5 when you check out and save an additional 15% off your order of $20 or more. Pod58 when you're picking up hosting accounts. All right, we've got a roundtable scheduled for this upcoming Saturday. And we had a couple of the presenters that were going to be presenting all of a sudden said, oh, something's come up and they can't present. So I'm scrambling right now to fill the void here so that we have enough material. Push comes to shove, I'll dig into my archives and be able to put something up. But if you have a technical topic that you'd like me to talk about on this upcoming roundtable this coming Saturday, let me know. It's maybe something I can dig into and do a presentation on. Always like to solicit ideas from all of you. And if you want to spend an hour with us on Saturday at 4 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Pacific, and we're going to be using our web conferencing solution, GoToMeeting, for the actual event, and then we'll be on TalkShoe for the actual audio portion. So a little bit of interactive on both sides. We'll be doing the interactive on the talking, where we'll be able to do a little bit of chatting, and then on the GoToMeeting session, you'll be able to see exactly what's in my screens. And these days, whether you're in business or simply want to share something with friends or family, email and voicemail sometimes just isn't enough. That's why you should try GoToMeeting, a web conferencing solution that will revolutionize how you communicate with your business associates, family, and friends. The ability to host online meetings is an absolute must for today's business. With GoToMeeting, it's just like you're all in the same room. Unlimited meetings for one flat rate means you can meet as often as you want, as far as long as you need. Try it yourself for free for 30 days. Just visit GoToMeeting.com/tech podcast. That's GoToMeeting.com/tech podcast. Try GoToMeeting free today. All right, well, let me get into some content here. I've got a pretty good stack for you tonight. Well, let me talk about this quickly first. When I got home tonight, my 3-year-old, he met me at the door. Mom didn't take me to the park today. I'm like, oh, really? Yes, Mom didn't take me to the park today. So, well, are you asking me something? Mom didn't take me to the park today, and I'm going to the park. And he can't go to the park by himself. It's not wise. So I said, well, why don't you give Dad 5 minutes, and we'll go to the park together. Great. At least you'll take me to the park. Mom wouldn't take me to the park today. You know, it's amazing what three-year-olds will do to, they're very good manipulators. He very well in his mind knew exactly what he wanted to do. So how many of you got three-year-olds at home that are doing that? Okay, well, the folks, let's go ahead and get into the news lineup tonight. Reuters is reporting that the space shuttle is going to be returning to Earth, set to return today. And they pulled the plug and basically asked them to depart the International Space Station a day early because they're worried about this hurricane that is, I guess, now bearing down on Mexico. But they were, at the time, they didn't know if the hurricane was going to make a swing to the right and was going to possibly impact, the tip of Texas, which would have, essentially caused the folks at Houston to have had to either evacuate or stay there and left their families to move on without them. But they're going to try to get the space shuttle back tomorrow. So we have them in our thoughts and prayers, especially considering the damage to the underneath of the vehicle. So I mentioned a lot of people are going to be watching this, so we'll keep our fingers crossed that there's no issues tomorrow. But they've had a great mission up there, great time, and taking care of all the things that they were supposed to. Now, speaking of space, every once in a while, I run into a pretty cool article, and there's a lot of really, really smart people out there that talk about space, time, the universe, they break down the science into a thread. And I kind of like to live by this thread, and maybe I don't always do it, but I like to break tech down in a way that it makes it easily understandable by the common person. And when it comes to space and science that's revolving around it, I love to read myself. I like to read articles that break down the material in a way that's really easy to understand. So I have a link up to a new site that I found. It's called astrosurf.com. And a link to a specific article talks about the scale of the universe, which I think is a great starting point. And if you find those, cool science links that's like this, definitely send me the link via email over to geeknews@gmail.com. Always love to get links from you folks because, you're finding the gems that are out there as well. I've been thrown in on the shows recently a non-techie article of the day, and I think I found one here for you what kind of prompted me for this was that having my wife not feel good, and by the way, she is feeling much better now, so thank everyone for all their comments and well wishes, but she, when I cook, I don't use a lot of vegetables. it's a meat, it's a starch, and then, if I remember, I'll put some vegetables on the table. So, typically when I'm cooking, my, the utilization of those bottom drawers in the refrigerator gets underutilized. So being that I had been cooking and taking care of things for her for about the week that she wasn't feeling good, we end up having some spoilage down there. And I kind of got scolded a little bit from her for not getting through that stuff. And she's always, real careful not to have spoilage, as I'm sure many of the ladies out there are. Maybe, even those of you men that cook on a regular basis, you keep an eye on things. But I tell you, what caught my eye today was an article on protecting your produce. And it talks about some different ways to make them stay in a better preservation for a longer time. So definitely check out this article. It's a 14-page article on storing and picking out produce. Guaranteed to save you some money. They say that the average American, and this is just criminal, it really is, they're saying that the average U.S. household throws out about $300 worth of spoiled fruit and vegetables every year. And it's really sad considering that a lot of people just can't get fresh vegetables, and for us to throw out that much is really criminal. It really, really is. So I'm going to do my best to make sure that we don't throw stuff out in the future. All right, got a couple of tech consumer type of things I need you all to pay attention to, especially if you're a Macy's customer. I'm going to, and if you are not, haven't been using a Macy's credit card recently, I'm going to link up an article that's on the Consumerist that talks about some new things are being done by credit card companies and flipping credit card accounts. I'm also going to link up to a article that talks about some tactics that people are using to get back at people that are, you know, essentially not doing just ways of doing business. Now, one thing I did, you know, I talked about in the last show how Netflix had lowered their rates again by a dollar. You know, they basically lowered the subscription fee. And if you all remember, back around the Christmas time frame, or maybe a little bit before, I actually canceled my subscription to Netflix. We just weren't using it. You know, we were doing a lot of pay-per-view, and maybe one pay-per-view per week. But I was just not getting the DVDs turned around, and my wife really didn't have the patience to sit down and really go through the website. And so I got to talking to her about it, and part of it was my own fault for not explaining to her well enough what the Netflix service offered up. And when I showed her that they had sent us a coupon asking us to come back and showed her what the service did and how she, you know, she's like, you know, I've been going to the library, picking up DVDs and, you know, having extra stuff for the kids. And she's like kind of verbally beating me up. How come you didn't teach me about this? Well, fellas, if you haven't taught your significant other the value of either the Netflix or of any of the other services out there that are similar, definitely take a few moments and sit down with them, because she is, you know, she's the one that keeps the expenditures in check around here. And if we're going to get something like a Netflix service, she's going to guarantee she's going to maximize. She's going to figure out the way to maximize the utilization of that service. So now we're going to be getting Netflix again. And she's in charge. She's in charge of ordering up. And she told me, if you don't want to watch, if you want to watch specific movies, you better get in and get the preferences set. Because if you don't, then we're going to watch chick flicks. Because I'm going to be picking them. That's what she told me. So, gents out there, get your significant others or girlfriends up to speed. And ladies, if you're the geek of the house, you know, teach your husbands as well. So that will get the most value out of these services. And don't be one of those, you know what it is Netflix is running a numbers game. You know, they're counting on people like me not to send the disc in on time. And that's where they're making their money. So be one of those, you know, 2 or 3% customers that is maximizing the turnaround time of all the rental DVDs. And, you know, if you've got a family as big as I do, going to the movies anymore really is a really special treat. It's just not enough time and not enough money in the old cash reserves to do it. It's just so expensive. But, hey, some very, very exciting news. And I'm really, really... I can't wait, to be honest with you. The Windows Home Server has been released into the wild. And it's actually, for those of you that are outside of the United States, you may actually have access to Windows Home Server already. They're saying within a week to 2 weeks, we're going to start seeing Windows Home Server on the shelves and available online to order. Now, you want to be a super friend of the show? If you see Windows Home Server available online, you definitely wanted to drop me an email. Let me know that it's available, because I can't wait to get my hand on the final disk. Now, I've considered just going waiting for HP to release their particular unit, and then just run their solution. But I think that most of these you know, if the discs are being made available for people to use, I've got a system here that we're using in beta testing, and I just can't. It's going to be an awesome product, and we're talking a lot more about it when it is out on the street and available. And if you are primarily a Windows heavy user, This is something that you really, I'm serious now, you're really going to want to look into, especially if you've got a machine that maybe you have retired. But maybe it's, you know, it's got the minimum requirements that this operating system is going to need to run. And you'll be able to load it up and you drop a few drives in the box and stick the server. What I did, I had a refurbished HP desktop that I had bought probably from a company that wasn't supposed to be selling refurbs, but it was at a regular store here in Honolulu, and they had actually removed the HP markings from the box, but you can tell it's an HP case, and my wife had used that machine for a couple of years, and I had something go out on it, and I was gone, and just told her to go get a new machine, but this machine, what I did with it is I bought one of those electric, LANs via the PowerPoint, or power plug. You know, you plug it into the wall socket, you plug a LAN cable into it, you go to the other end, and you plug the other unit in, and you hook it up to the machine. And it worked great. I had it down, actually, where my spare freezer is. I had it sitting on top of all places. I had it sitting on top of a freezer where we really weren't worried about the noise, and had it down there, and it just hummed away and was perfect. So it's sitting up here waiting for, because I did have a problem with the beta, and just decided not to. I waited till the final release comes out. So I'm going to be using that machine again. So again, you can stick this, you can stick the box anywhere that you can, you know, anywhere that you have a power plug and a place to connect it into the network. Now, some of you say, well, why don't you just use it on a Wi-Fi network? Well, I don't know if you're going to get the throughput through it that you're going to need. Using the hardwired connection just seemed to have definitely better performance. But keep your eyes peeled for me. If you see it, let me know, because the Windows Home Server has been released into the wild. And it is kind of curious that Microsoft is really not talking about it too much. They're, you know, it's mum's word, and it's kind of like this soft launch. Okay, Wired's got a great article about a gentleman who is being accused of being a coupon. Yes, you heard me correctly, a coupon hacker, and he faces a DMCA lawsuit. He has been referred to as the DVD John of coupon clipping. And what he did is he built some software that would reside on your machine, which strips some of the information out. And if you ever went to one of these coupon sites, they allow you to print a couple of coupons for a particular product. And then what they do is they either drop a cookie or they drop something into your registry so that you can't print another one, so that you're just limited to two. Well, he kind of found out their way of doing this, and he's went in and he has some software that'll actually go in and pull this out, allowing you to print more than the set number of coupons. Well, he's being sued. And this is a very interesting lawsuit. And while I thought this was an interesting project, this could have some serious precedence in that this is the first time someone is being sued for having an application on their computer that simply, and this is how simple it is, it deletes a file or a listing. So he's essentially getting sued for creating a program that deletes something on your computer that you invoke. And meanwhile, he's getting sued by these groups, these companies that don't want people printing more than a couple of coupons. So it'll be interesting to see how the court case on this turns out, in that consumers are essentially, at this point, can get in trouble by, according to this lawsuit, if you went into your computer and you did this manually and deleted something off your computer manually and then reprinted one of these coupons, you know, in theory, you could be charged with violating the DMCA. As he says here, he says, all I did was erase files or register keys. He says nothing was hacked, nothing was decoded that was any way, shape, or form in any way in which the DMCA was written. But legal experts have responded and say they're not so sure on this. So this is very interesting. We'll definitely keep an eye out on this, And if anyone else finds anything out on this guy and what's happening with this, definitely send me a follow-up. Anyway, I've added his name to a specific search term within my my different searches I use, and we'll keep an eye out for this. All right, as many geeks as we have in the audience, I know some of you have run the SETI software before. I know that I did. I remember when I was living in Southern Maryland down in the Pax River area that I had a couple of machines set up that were doing nothing but processing the SETI signals. And I would, you know, I would have that set up so that it would activate the second my screensaver started. And essentially, whenever I wasn't in front of the computer, the machine was working on SETI signals. Well, you know, I'm sure there was a lot of computer hard drives that were destroyed over the years from people doing that. And I think there's probably people still doing it. But back in 1977, when they first started the SETI project, a radio telescope at Ohio State University picked up an unusual signal. And it's been referred to kind of as the WOW signal. And it was written on the piece of paper beside it. But it goes into some history of the WOW signal, and it takes a look at, you know, how they were collecting data back then and going and kind of doing a review of, was this an actual legitimate signal, or was this some random event or external, you know, however it may have come to be that they detected it. There's been a lot of speculation over the years, and I think this article goes into some pretty good pros and cons that it, you know, probably was not extraterrestrial, and then there was some other comments and maybe it was. So if you are interested in the WOW signal, I've heard about it in the past, you'll definitely want to read up this. Take a couple minutes to get through it, but it is a good read and good fodder for around the water cooler at work, that's for sure. All right, the next article goes into, heck, it's made big news over the last 3 or 4 days, and of course, the news is over the Skype outage. And if you were a Skype user, you very well knew that Skype was not working for a couple of days. And, you know, there was a lot of speculation on what was going on, what had happened, and whether they had got hacked with a denial of service attack. And, you know, it really kind of hindered things here. I use Skype a lot. I do a lot of instant messaging. And a lot of people, a lot of companies are using Skype as their primary outcall service. And for, you know, about 48 hours with Skype being down, people were lost. So it turns out that Skype blamed Microsoft, believe it or not, on their outage. Now, Microsoft really wasn't at fault, but Microsoft's patch Tuesday caused a lot of machines to be rebooted. And I know mine were included in that. And then when they were rebooted, the peer-to-peer nature of Skype could not handle the number of machines coming along, and there was a cascade effect of some sorts, and their software failed. So they spent a couple of days, I guess, patching up Skype. And but it is kind of ironic that you know, a bunch of Windows users took Skype down. Now there is some discussion going on, and I'll have a link in the show notes where some people are questioning even now how honest the folks at Skype are or have been over that latest crash, because some things don't completely add up. So I'll have a link up to a /dot article, and I'll have a link up to a Tech Dirt article on this, and I'll let you guys weigh in, see what you think. How did you deal with Skype being out? Do you depend upon it for your business? Is it something that has made you rethink your telecommunication needs? I didn't really realize that many people were using Skype as a primary communications vehicle. It kind of surprised me. It really did. You know, I use it here to do, use generally a PC to PC talk. I don't normally use Skype out very much, but from time to time I do. All right, if you have an iPhone, here's a quick warning, and I'm going to, you definitely want to watch the video on this. If you have an iPhone and you travel internationally with the iPhone, beware. Be very, very aware. Especially be aware of the terms of service. And here's the skinny if you're going to be going international with the iPhone. For $24.99 a month, iPhone users get this, 20 megabytes of data usage outside of the United States. If you don't have a plan, the cost is 19.5 cents a kilobyte. If you're on the plan, the overage charge would be like 0.005 per kilobyte. So now that's kilobyte, not meg, kilobyte. And there was a guy that originally was told that the $25 would cover unlimited international data, but it turns out that this would only cover 20 megabytes. So when this guy got his bill, he about had a heart attack. And it wasn't 1,000. It wasn't 2,000. It wasn't 3,000. It wasn't 4,000. It was $4,500. Oh my, that would make you want to smash your iPhone. You know, when you if you're going to be going on travel overseas for an extended amount of time, you can buy phones really cheap. Most countries now, you can buy, as long as you have your passport, you can buy a phone and a SIM card very inexpensively. And, you know, if you really need to have phone calls coming in, let someone else dial you internationally. Oh, my goodness. This is that's crazy. But check the video out for the proof in this. A little more info on iPhones. If you want to install an app on your iPhone, no hacking skills are required. And we have two articles up in the show notes tonight that are going to describe some third-party native software that you can use for your iPhone and some new installation packages that are out there that will let you play around. So I think this is getting pretty interesting here. The hackers have been building apps now, and it's going to get relatively easy to install apps on the iPhone. Just need some more people developing some stuff. And if you've developed any apps for the iPhone or want to, drop me an email. I may have some work for you. geeknews@gmail.com. Okay, over on LooseWire, loosewireblog.com. This covers an article that I've subject I've talked about before. And I got to pick on the folks at TechCrunch a little bit. And the reason I do is because this guy did. And it is a site that I notice this happening a lot on. And I like what Michael Arrington does over there at TechCrunch. Don't get me wrong. They got great content. But something that always drives me nuts is that when I'm on his website and I'm reading through an article, there'll be a hyperlink in the middle of the page. It'll say, and you expect that hyperlink will go to something he's talking about in the article. But instead, 9 out of 10 times, it'll go to another article within the website. It just drives me crazy. Now, part of it is because some of the sites are using sites that do link embeds. There's other sites that do it on purpose to build link love within their own websites or web properties. But this guy just goes off on him a little bit or on sites like this. He talks about the sleazy practices of internal linking. And, you know, he talks about Startup Squad, how they do that, a couple other websites that are out there. And I don't know about you, but very, very, very rarely do I link internally to a story within Geek News Central. Now, if I do, I always will have an external link going out to the article or maybe something that piqued my interest that made me write something. So I just don't like it. And there must be some search engine optimization benefit from doing it, or these sites went and do it, because it's very, very irritating. Even though some of these sites have policies that say that they don't internally link, and even though they do. So does that drive you crazy as well? And what do you think about sites that do it? Do you avoid clicking on anything in their websites because it just takes you to another page and you're never able to find the source article? Okay, let's move on here. You know, this weekend, actually not this weekend, but last week, every once in a while I get in this mode where let's go ahead and clean up some software, get some software off my PC that I haven't used in a while. And one of the applications I actually removed was called Tubes. And Tubes was an application Andy McCaskey and I used to share. Essentially, before we went out to the Consumer Electronics Show, is we were using that to share back and forth media files. And we were just kind of building up everything that we would need out there media-wise. That would need to be on each other's computers so that no matter where we were at or whoever had the PC out, we'd be able to have access to audio clips and that types of things. So we used it to share that media. Well, Tubes has got a new beta out, and of course, I deleted it last week. Now I'm going to have to reinstall it and check it out. But Tubes is a media and file sharing portal service, which allows you essentially to have a kind of a little friends network within Tubes, and anything you drop into an area that, let's say, you have a group, you can drop a file in there, and it automatically will distribute to everyone within that specific group. And you can do it one-on-one or to multiple people. It's a pretty cool little application. It's actually something that I would have liked to have used before for how we were sharing stuff with Raw Voice. But we actually use what does Angelo call it? I've got it here loaded on my computer. This is something that, you know, this would be a geek thing completely. It's a way that software is checked in and out. Let me right-click on this. It's called, I'm waiting for my computer here. It's actually called the SVN checkout system. It's TURTIS SVN. And what it allows us to do is we can essentially sync up information between machines. We check in, check out files. It shows when people have updated a document, it goes back onto the repository, the archive is kept in there. So it's a great way. It's a tool that developers use, but it's also a great way for us to be able to, as we're updating marketing sheets or whatever it may be, we're able to have version controls, essentially, of those documents and files, which really, really comes in handy because I'll be like, oh, man, I just messed something up, or I need a similar document that we had before. I can go back, you know, a couple months, and I can go in the repository and I can pull the old version and then make modifications to that. It just makes it really, really handy. Instead of having to have 10 different copies on my desktop, I just put them in the repository and it just kind of takes care of it for us. And it's a cool thing. It's run through our server, one of our servers that we have, and it's definitely really, really handy. Okay, let me go back to, I kind of got on a tangent there. Let me go ahead and reload FeedDemon here. And the next article up, and waiting for it to load, is the update on the state of internet radio. There's some predictions being made by eMarketer saying that by 2020, internet radio will have as many of 180 million listeners and generate $19.7 billion in ad revenue. And I really question that because, you know, how many, you know, internet radio, unless you have, maybe it is possible, you know, because our phones are going to get better and our connections are going to continue to grow faster. So maybe internet radio, streaming radio will work on our cell phones. But with the data plans that most of these companies have and in the, you know, the limitation of applications on your phone, in other words, you know, if you have a basic T-Mobile or AT&T or Verizon phone, they're not just going to, you know, you're just not going to be able to subscribe to any specific service. You're going to be locked into what they want you to have. You're going to have to pay them, you know, $5 or $6 a month to have access to streaming media on your phone. So for them to say that the internet radio market's going to increase to 180 million listeners, it really makes me think, no, it's not possible because of the portability of media today. It makes sense, a lot more sense to me, to be able to, you know, continue to build the podcasting model. And, you know, because you want to take media with you that you want to listen to, right? Sure, it's sometimes, maybe, I don't know, maybe I'm wrong here myself. Where do you guys think this is going to go? Do you think that internet radio is going to continue to grow, considering all the things that are going on with the SourceForge and, between SoundExchange and webcasters? SourceForge, where did that come from? Between, you know, SoundExchange and webcasters, are they going to be able to work this royalty licensing out and this per channel, per listener payments and all the different things that they want these streaming internet radio stations to pay? You know, with legislation legislation's been introduced, but I don't know if there's enough support for it to get passed and have the president sign it. That's, you know, they can get it passed, but if the president won't sign the thing, there's not much further it can go. So I wonder if the Sound Exchange is counting on that and going to continue to play a little bit hardball with internet radio stations. Okay, moving on here, I want to give you an update on Robin Good's new media site. He's reporting here that the Google nightmare is over and that his websites are back online and they're getting the type of Google traffic that he was expecting. I'm very honest with you. I'm surprised that he is making as much money as he is on this website. He's got 13 different authors or editors. He's got people contributing all over the world. And, you know, I guess I just don't dig in deep enough into his website to see, you know, all the content that he's creating. But by looking at this front page, he's got the title. He's got ads by Google right below the title. He's got ads by Google on the left. You go down a little bit further, he's got some more sponsorship stuff on here. So it's all ad-based. And, you know, with him being essentially delisted last week, his traffic just bottomed out completely, and he was worried about being able to make payroll. But it is pretty scary that someone has to have, you know, their business model completely dependent upon one company. It's just, that's, to me, would be scare me to death. And obviously it scared him a little bit. So don't keep your eggs all in one basket, folks. You know, if you're earning money with your blogs or with your properties out there, you know, if Google is your single source of income, you really need to look at it, because all it takes is one little thing and get your site delisted, and you could be in a world of serious hurt. Okay, on CNNMoney.com, DreamWorks Paramount is picking HD DVD. Now, I did see an article, and I didn't have it linked up here, but it appears that the HD DVD consortium may have actually kind of helped DreamWorks and Paramount along a little bit. While I don't have a link to that, I'll see if I can find it and put it up in the show notes. But anything that's going to be coming out of DreamWorks and Paramount in the near future is going to be on HD DVD. So new animations, obviously coming out of DreamWorks, will be in that format. So this is curious, because right now they're seeing higher sales of Blu-ray out there. How many of you have picked a format? How many of you have a media player that will do both? How many of you are actually being able to get content in Blu-ray, HD, DVD? Is there any of that really out there? You know, how much of that material is available today? All right, good news for all of you that are looking to score the AT&T $10 DSL. AT&T has made the $10 DSL marginally easier to find following complaints. If you remember, we talked about this, where the settlement that they had made and the agreement they had made making this available, they did make it available at this lower price, but they made it almost impossible to sign up for, and they never promoted it to anyone. So really, the only people that really knew about it were, you know, the folks that listen to this show and read blogs. So the folks at the Consumerist really were able to dig in here and were able to find out that some stuff that was posted in some newspapers were actually what caused the change by AT&T. It wasn't necessarily the bloggers that did, but something that made it in a regular traditional print. So we still don't have all the power we need to have, but it definitely, I think the online publicity or negative publicity probably helped AT&T along a little bit as well. All right, I'm going to show my age here a little bit. Once upon a time, when I was quite a bit younger, probably 23 years ago, I actually had a gig DJing at a top club when I was living overseas. I got taught how to essentially mix, scratch, put together playlists, etc., using albums, 12-inch vinyl, and played in this club for a couple of years. It was a pretty good gig, paid pretty well. And at the time, we would always, in the afternoons, and a bunch of us were hanging out, we would see who could come up with the best mixtape. Now, we never really used those in the club. We may have used them as a demo if we're trying to get a, you know, DJ gig someplace. But I had one mixtape that I had made that was just really great. I wish I could find it because it was probably my shining moment at the time. Because it got a lot of good reviews by people that listened to it, and it got me a lot of paid DJ gigs. But that was a long, 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 long time ago. And today, you know, making a mixtape and having it distributed or actually trying to resell it could land you in jail. Now, we never sold our mixtapes. We used them to, you know, get ourselves promoted. But in January, some SWAT teams, at the direction of the RIAA, raided the studio of a well-known DJ and a mixtape artist in Atlanta. They arrested him, threw him in jail. But apparently, they found out that the mixtape, the folks that were making mixtapes were actually helping the artists more than they were hurting them. So what the record labels have done is they've started making their own mixtapes with some DJs that no one has ever heard of. So it is kind of curious here. The first Universal-backed mixtape has sold less than 6,000 copies since being released over a month ago, and many record stores have very little interest in carrying it. So, you know, here's a little suggestion. You know, if next time the RIAA thinks about throwing somebody in jail for putting together a mixtape, maybe they ought to think about the benefit that they provide. Because, you know, to be honest with you, most of these mixtapes, I don't know, you guys get kids that are buying any or finding any? They're being played in the clubs, I'm sure. They're probably not mixtapes per se. They're probably burned on CDs. But, you know, that was kind of, if you actually had to play your mix in a club that way, you're pretty frowned upon. You better be able to know how to mix stuff in live, as they say, and please the crowd and be able to scratch stuff up as you need to. So, okay, enough on that. We'll move on. I'm sure you are like, okay, not stop. Or do you, any of you live in Vermont? Any of you have a iPhone? If you do, watch out. AT&T is going to come after you. Apparently, because AT&T does not have any service in Vermont, they've been very, very aggressive in making sure that no one's sold an iPhone that lives in Vermont, and that if you are trying to buy one and have one sent to a family member's address and then they send it on to you and then you activate it and you do more than 40% of your roaming while in Vermont on AT&T, prepared to have your service canceled. They're going to be very aggressive about this. AT&T doesn't care. They don't want your business. So you better live in an area that actually has access to some cells that are actually AT&T non-roaming, or you could very well find yourself with a phone disconnected and your service canceled. All right, folks, that's all I've got for regular content tonight. Amazingly, wrapped up here pretty quick. Kind of a slow news day. I did get started a little late getting the show together. But let's go ahead and get into, I have a couple of voicemail comments. Haven't listened to these yet. There are a couple long ones, it appears. And as always, you can send your emails to geeknews@gmail.com, geeknews@gmail.com, or the voicemail hotline at, get your pens out, 619-342-7365. And if you haven't noticed, and I almost forgot to mention it, we are very, very fast approaching show number 300. Now, with that, some of you, I've sent out a whole bunch of $50 gift certificates. If you have not gotten yours, and I owe you a $50 gift certificate, send me an email right away. Okay, I've sent them out about 2 weeks ago, so we should have everyone caught up. There may be a few stragglers. I know that I lost a couple pieces of paper. I've actually got some other things to send out as well, so I apologize for being late. That's the way it's been. But if you haven't gotten your $50 gift certificate and you were due one, definitely send me an email, okay? geeknews@gmail.com, geeknews@gmail.com. But let's go ahead and get into the voicemail comments. And yeah, five shows away from show 300. What should we do? Should we do something special, or should we just keep on rolling? All right, here comes the first voicemail comment.
Hi, Todd. Bree from the D.C. area.
Hey,
here.
Hey, Bree.
I have three issues to give a short hit to.
Okay.
First, the podcast awards. I voted three times, which is what I saw the average was. I went to check the winners and tried to figure out which podcast was no longer listed so that I could tell who the miscreant was who flamed you via email. But I couldn't tell who it was. And also, alas, none of my fave podcasts won.
Wah! Oh, I'm sorry.
Secondly, about a month ago, Verizon posted on each of the doors of the townhomes in my neighborhood a notice saying that their contractor would begin installation of fiber optic cable in the next couple of weeks. This was, quote, part of a nationwide project designed to advance the state-of-the-art for voice, data, internet, and other services by extending the fiber directly to each home.
Lucky you.
Then they put two subsequent notices on my door, as I am a so-called end unit. My little townhouse is right next to Verizon's utility box. For the past 2 weeks, they have been digging up all over the neighborhood. Yesterday, they marked with orange paint where they're going to dig next to my house.
Oh, nice.
Looks like they're going to undermine the slope of my backyard and take out part of my wood fence. You know what most townhouses have for backyard
fences. Yeah, nothing.
As soon as I saw where the orange paint marker line was, I called the contractor in my townhouse association. Yep. They are going to come out and take a look. Of course, they promised they will put everything back. I asked if they were pulling copper wires. The contractor manager said, no, we are threading wires in there. I was surprised he said wires and not cable. I asked him if this would affect my service, since my landline, yep, I still keep it for my security system, and my high, laugh, speed wireless, were Verizon. He said it would not affect my service. So what good is all of this? That's what I have to say. Anyway, my final issue is, I never use Google. Yes, I'm probably the only person who doesn't. Why? Because I've always rooted for the underdog. I have used Dogpile since maybe it began. I don't know. I like the name, and they have done well by me. Now, I also use GoodSearch.com. That's recent, because they allow you to put in your favorite verified charity on one line and your search term on another line. Supposedly, they send a nominal amount of money to that charity. So those are my three issues. Keep up the good work, as always. This is Bree. Bye.
Hey, Bree. Thanks so much for the call. You know, Bree is a very, very long-term subscriber to the show. She's always sending in email and comments. We really, really appreciate you having you part of the Ohana here. Thanks for your kind comments. Great stuff. Well, you gave us a good quick data dump there. And, yeah, Dogpile, I haven't checked out that site very often. How do we fall out on Dogpile, Bree, when you do a search for podcast or for podcast community? Or, you know, let us know how we fall out over there. Are we even listed? All right, let's go ahead and get into the and I'm sorry your shows didn't win during the podcast awards, but it definitely wasn't my choosing, that's for sure. All right, let's go ahead and play this next one.
Hey, Todd. This is Seth from Michigan.
Hey.
I would like to call you about dial-up. I know that your mom is somewhere in Michigan. I'm not sure exactly where, but
she's down
your mom
in Branch County,
Michigan, and she's still on dial-up.
Yep.
I know you had mentioned that you took your laptop to her place a while back and that you had the EVDO working fine. I'm not sure what speed you had on there, so... I don't know how far away you are from the nearest town, but myself, about 4 or 5 miles from where I live, there's Plainfield Township, and we can actually add a antenna on top of our roof, and we can get wireless internet from them, and
really?
I'm getting 787 kilobit download. That's about 300K kilobyte. Actual download speed, like when you're downloading things, and then about 40 kilobyte upload speed, which is quite good, and that's like $40 a month. I actually get it through All-in-One Wireless is the provider who I get it from, who sets up the internet from Plainfield Township. So if your mom is up to setting up it's about a 4-foot antenna, and then it's on a tripod mounted on your roof, and then there's about a 4-foot pole from that tripod keeping the antenna up in the air. So if she's within about 5 miles or so from the nearest town that has wireless there, maybe that can help her out a little bit so she doesn't have to have dial-up anymore. So great podcast. Keep it up. Bye.
Hey, thanks. And, yeah, my mom's down in Branch County, which is at the very bottom of the state along the I-69 corridor. And actually, she's 7 miles of one traffic light town called Quincy. Then that's actually where I went to high school at, an elementary and, you know, everything. And then there's a town that's about 13 miles away. It's called Coldwater. And we've got, you know, we've got a, like a, my dad in the back in the day was a CB buff. So we have a antenna. Actually, she still has a TV tower. So we could actually put an antenna up there if we needed to. Plus, they've got a building. It's a pole barn, 27 foot to the eaves. So we could get really, you know, pretty high up with an antenna if we needed to. She's just been so busy. We're actually going to get her EVDO service. I was going to get her the booster cable and antenna. She's actually line of sight away from the tower like 17 miles, but we had a really, you know, the reception wasn't bad, and I figured with the booster we could probably get her a pretty good speed on that. Basically hasn't, time-wise, hasn't worked out to be able to do it. She's actually going to come out here in October and visit me. Actually, she's coming out to the Podcast and New Media Expo. So if any of you are going to be out at Podcast Expo, Sherry from the Sherry Cast is going to be there and hanging out. So you guys will get to meet her. She's going to be helping us out with our hospitality room. So, of course, if you are coming to the Podcast New Media Expo, you definitely want to come out and hang out with us and have some microbrews and a cocktail or two, and along with some food. We're going to have a good time each. I think we're going to do Thursday, Friday, and Saturday night again this year. So we should have a lot of fun. We're flying out of there, out of Ontario on Monday, coming back to Honolulu. She's going to come back with me here. Matter of fact, I got to book her airline tickets tomorrow morning. But so far, she's okay on dial-up, but I think she's just a little bit too far out of the sticks to get Wi-Fi at this point. Matter of fact, we'll talk about a service that she could use, but it's pretty expensive. It came, it's a comment from one of our callers or one of our listeners tonight is in the show notes. So I'll, not in the show notes, but in the email. So I'll get into that here in just a minute. But thanks for the advice, and definitely we'll check that out. If you could you send me the link to that company? And if they have any coverage maps, I'd love to see them. It's nice to get her off of dial-up, that's for sure. Okay, let me go ahead and move over here to the listener comments. Now, you know, the pace of the show, I'm kind of nice and slow and easy tonight. It's been kind of fun. Not too much stress. Let me go ahead and pull this up. Okay, show comments. And I got an email from Christina. I've been listening to your show for a while now, and I really love it. Learn a lot from your show. I've been having some problems installing Firefox. For some reason, every time I start the installation, after the third screen, the program will stop responding. I'm visually impaired, and I have to use a speech output program in IE7. It has been giving me a lot of problems, so I thought it's time to switch over to Firefox. If you know of someone who might be able to help me, please let me know. Thank you so much for looking forward to your next show. Christina, where are you located at? If you don't mind, maybe we can get you some on-site help, or maybe we can get someone on the phone with you and walk through it to find out what's going on. I'd be more than happy to try to help you with it myself if I could. So make sure that no crazy comes after you or anything. So just, you know, if you want, send me another email back. Actually, I'll reply to you. I'll do that right now, send you an email. And have you send me send me your contact info, and we'll see if we can get you some help. Got an email from Ken. Hey, he says, dude, whoever wrote the stats system or all that helped write the stats system deserve a raise. I loaded the redirect last night on all my past shows and my newest shows, but I took a look at the stats this morning, and breakdown of everything is awesome. You guys made it easy to read and understand. I'll definitely be blogging about it around on me at the expo. Ken, I'm going to keep it to that, my friend. Thanks for the great comments on the stats system. I should have actually had that in the other different section, but Got an email from Henry. He's in Southfield, Michigan. He says, "Hey, Todd, I've been a listener for a long time, since podcast number 48. I listen to your mom's podcast as well. I think I've got you beat on hard drive cost." Uh-oh, here we go. In 1987, I paid $1,500 for an 80-megabyte, full-height, 5 1/4-inch hard drive for my IBM AT system. I split the drive between DOS and SCO Unix. SCO was a good company back then. And he said, mahalo nui loa for the great podcast. Thanks, Henry, for that. Wow, $1,500. I think the first hard drive I bought, Henry, was a, oh gosh, it was a 65-meg RLL hard drive. Cost me $265, and it went inside a Commodore Colt. That was a 80. Was it a 386? It was the first computer I had with a hard drive. Yeah, I think it was an 8030. It wasn't even a 386. It was 80. No, it was an 8086. An 8086 was the actual CPU in it. And I remember buying a 256 meg extension card, and it was about like 18 inches long. And it had all the. I have it around here somewhere. I haven't. I kept some old parts that I kept in a box, and at some point someday I'll have a little show display. I'll have it maybe put in like a shadow box or something, and show you where we came from and where we're going. And so at least when my kids get older, when I hear them start complaining about stuff, I'll show them that. Okay, got an email from Billy. He says, "Todd, as a consumer, you have the right to express your opinion about how a company is running their business and how you think they should run their business. Anybody who tells you otherwise has forgotten that consumers, not companies, drive the economy. Publicly telling companies, especially companies that were given a monopoly by your government and have failed to live up to what they promised to deliver for what that business was, potentially helps those companies as a form of consumer feedback. Remember that the goal of a company is supposed to be to serve its customers. While making money is certainly important, when companies start placing profit ahead of customer service, then there is a problem, Billy." I'm sure that's going to raise some commentary. I'm going to keep calling companies to task. Don't worry, and I'll going to say as I please about them. That's for sure. Okay, got an email from Barry. "Hey, Todd. Yes, I bit the bullet, left Verizon Wireless to the bowels of AT&T for iPhone service. I have to tell you that I am generally very pleased with this phone. We were on a family vacation. Everyone got hooked, my wife and adult children. Turns out the Edge connection for the iPhone was significantly faster than the dial-up service we had available at our Lakeside Cottage in central Maine." Beautiful time of the year to be in Maine, by the way. "At any rate, guests were light users as our AT&T bill was only 33 pages. Keep up the great work and thoroughly enjoy your podcast, Barry." Barry, save a tree. Go to Electronic. Tell them to quit sending you that big, fat 33-page bill. Just be honest. Isn't that ridiculous? 33. That's – how many of you remember? I remember getting an AT&T bill back in the day that came in an 8.5 by 11 envelope. It was a business bill that had excruciating detail. I mean, it was like, for a $100 bill, it would have been like 20 or 30 pages. It's not surprising. I guess they haven't gotten rid of their legacy billing systems. All right, I've got a couple of promos for you. And as always, send your comments, geeknews@gmail.com. Voicemail at 619-342-7365. Let me go. I've been meaning to play these for the last two shows, and I don't even remember who they are. So I'm just going to go ahead and fire them through, and then I'll give you a little sign-off. But here's the first one.
Hi, I'm James from Nobody's Listening from NLCast.com, and my brother's here.
And I'm David.
And we do a little podcast.
It's nothing big.
We just tell stories.
We tell a story about a go-kart ride that felt like a roller coaster.
We did one about a basic ghost man that scared the crap out of some kids.
Yes, and we did another one about hating my sister for life.
We're welcoming you to come and enjoy our stories. We also want to give you a chance to tell your own.
Yeah.
We're not the only ones with funny stories.
No, there are tons of people in the world. There's a couple hundred thousand, I thought.
So we want you to share your stories as well.
Uh-huh.
But you can only do that if you check us out at NLCast.com. Or look us up in iTunes.
Yeah.
You will enjoy stories, weekly updates, news, and email. And we also do something called Recap Song.
Recap Song.
Recap Song. It's a way too long. It's a song about the things that we talked about in the show with my bro. It's the way it is. It seems to be the favorite part.
Favorite part.
Seems to be the favorite part for everyone.
Everyone
sends in. It's the way we do it.
Way we do it.
Keeping it real.
Keeping it real.
Doing what we feel. Uh-oh. Uh-oh. Yeah, NLcast.com, baby. Check it out.
Check it.
Broke you.
Broke you.
You can tell these guys have a lot of fun, can't you? All right, here's the next one.
After a long silence, one podcaster returns to begin again.
Are you a nit?
Yeah, I get that a lot.
Nitwitch's Sci-Fi Fantasy Zone is back for Season 2.
I'd make a suggestion, but you wouldn't listen. No one ever does.
Visit the website at nitwitchzone.com for more information.
Anybody else?
That was a hell of a thing.
What's wrong with them?
I don't know. Come on.
Hop the next wormhole and enter the zone. Nitwitch's Sci-Fi Fantasy Zone.
All right, you can find these two fine shows and many, many more over at blueberry.com and blubrry.com. Everyone have a great week. I know I'm going to. Take care and aloha.